I'm Stone White, on location in Houston, Texas, where just this morning, a gunman opened fire from this building, directly behind me at...
He's still in there, dumbass!
Hello and welcome to my booth. Can I help you? Hello? Don't be shy.
I'm sorry. This is my first time at one of these weapons festivals.
Please, we call it a gun show. Relax! Can I see your ID?
I was told I didn't need to have identification.
I'm kidding. I don't need to see an ID. Relax! Can I get you a bumper sticker?
No, just a gun would be good.
Of course, a gun. Now, do you know which kind of gun?
I don't know. I'm kind of new to random motiveless killings.
I see. Are you a hunter or a maniac?
I'm not sure.
Do you keep to yourself?
Yes.
Do you have antisocial tendencies?
Yeah.
Do you believe in thinning out the herd?
A herd of people, yeah.
Do you kill for sport?
I could kill at sports.
You're a hunter of humans, which puts you in either category. Fortunately, I market the same guns to both hunters and maniacs. Do you want pistols or automatic weapons?
How about two of each? No, make it three. No, make it 12.
With 13, you get a bumper sticker. Guns don't kill, my customers do.
Thanks. Do you have a movie schedule?
I'm a death merchant, not Fandango.
Oh, well, I don't know how to thank you. I feel like giving you a warning sign.
Wonderful. In your aftermath, I'll tell the media I didn't pick up on it.
Well, I'm gonna go keep to myself now.
Sure. If you want, you can keep to yourself with those loners over there.
Those people socializing?
Yeah. They're all antisocial. And they're all my customers.
Wow. There are more of us hunter maniacs than I thought.
Just do me a favor. Don't thin out that herd. Next!
The following is a message from the National Writing Association.
As we all know, America recently suffered a pair of inexplicable auto tragedies when crazed motorists crashed into public gathering places and ran people over until they ran out of gas. As usual, this has led to reckless and ill-thought restrictions on automobile possession and use. That's where the National Riding Association is protecting your rights to have a vehicle and to use it freely. And the NRA needs your support, your dollars, and your votes, because your rights are not safe. Many people now want what is called a speed limit, in which liberals and other fearmongers would limit your speed, as if the rate of a moving body could be legislated. The planet itself is already moving around the sun at 67,000 miles an hour, so whether you drive at 10 miles an hour through a schoolyard or 75 miles an hour, it's really less than a 1% difference. How can that matter or even be enforced? But that won't stop the politicians. Without our efforts, you could lose your ability to drive while relaxing with an alcoholic beverage. Your 5-year-old son could no longer drive your truck or van. You could lose your right to own and drive a tank, or for your 5-year-old to operate the gun turret. The government might even restrict your number of kills. Sure, people say tanks tear up the highways. They say 5-year-olds keep crashing trucks into buildings while clapping and singing. They say dogs should not be trained to operate farm equipment. But freedom isn't free, my friends. And if we allow any restrictions on cars, pretty soon we won't have cars at all. And remember, cars are in the Constitution. Somewhere. Oh, crap, look out!
Welcome to the Inner Side Radio Program. My name is Scooter. Be with you for the next half hour. At the top of the show, we heard from Stone White reporting from right here in Houston this afternoon. Actually, we may have heard the last of Stone White. We'll we'll try to keep you up to date on his condition if you made it to the hospital. That was followed by Best in Gun Show and the National Riding Association, protecting your precious automobile rights to self-defense. That was from the Final Edition Radio Hour. Well, in rock and roll news today, Justin Bieber went to a Phish concert. So maybe his next record will be a little weird, depending on what he got a hold of. And get this, Paul Ryan announced that his favorite band is, and I'm not making this up, Rage Against the Machine. Tom Morello has responded over at Rolling Stone, pointing out that Ryan is the embodiment of the machine that his music has been raging against for two decades. So you definitely want to read the whole article over there at rollingstone.com. It's hilarious. All right, stay tuned for a message from New York stand-up comic Joe Dixon.
The owner of Chick-fil-A said gay people should get married because God's against that sort of thing. After all, God only made gay people because he lost the formula for making Mexicans. If you can't make Mexicans, then you must make homosexuals. If that statement makes no sense to you, then you know how I feel when someone tells me an invisible man lives in the sky. Anyway, the chicken man who hates the gays has pissed off liberals. They're so mad they almost dropped their lattes. The liberals say they will not be eating at Chick-fil-A because they are so outraged by discrimination. These are the very same liberals who were voting for Barack Obama, who was also against gay marriage up until a short time ago. Yet they didn't talk about boycotting Obama. I guess in the president's defense, he has the added benefit of killing Muslims. If a guy is against marriage equality, kind of an asshole. But if he's going to kill Muslims living overseas, you can't deny the redeeming value. The chicken man only kills chickens. If only the chicken man had a kill list that kills human beings, maybe liberals wouldn't be so mad at him. If you kill a 70-year-old American citizen with a drone like President Obama, liberals will vote for you. If you just stick to killing chickens, but say something stupid about gay marriage, liberals will hate you. Boy, I'm sure glad of all those studies that show liberals are the smart ones. Speaking of smart, who's smarter than Mitt Romney? Mitt Romney is a Republican running for president of the United States, and yet he keeps his money in other countries. Conservatives used to say how horrible liberals were for wanting to live in another country when George Bush was president. These same conservatives will now vote for Mitt Romney, who has his money living in another country. What you guess is okay. I mean, according to the Supreme Court, money is free speech. This means Mitt Romney is just spreading free speech to the oppressed people of Switzerland. You know, for the life of me, I can't understand why people don't vote. I vote. If I only had one vote to cast right now, I'd cast it for people who do comedy for a living, not having to be told what's funny by people who don't do comedy for a living. Dale Tosh got a trophy for making light of rape. Dale Tosh didn't actually rape anybody, but while rape is bad, making jokes about rape is so much worse. Dan Cook made a joke about mass shootings in Colorado. Shooting people is bad, but joking about it is right up there with the Holocaust. See how that works? If you tell jokes for a living and tell a rape joke, you are a horrible person. If you tell jokes for a living and joke about shootings, you are a horrible person. If you sell fried chicken for a living and have a stupid opinion on gay marriage, you are a horrible person who needs to be boycotted. But if you take your wealth, to say nothing of jobs, and send them overseas, like Mitt Romney, or if you kill people convicted of nothing, like Barack Obama, then at least half the country will vote for you. I'm sure glad I live in America, where we have our priorities straight.
The same way we made up the death penalty. We made them both up, sanctity of life and the death penalty. Aren't we versatile? And you know, in this country now, there are a lot of people who want to expand the death penalty to include drug dealers. This is really stupid. Drug dealers aren't afraid to die. They're already killing each other every day on the streets by the hundreds. Drive-bys, gang shootings, they're not afraid to die. death penalty doesn't mean anything unless you use it on people who are afraid to die. Like the bankers who launder the drug money. The bankers who launder the drug money. Forget the dealers. You want to slow down that drug traffic, you got to start executing a few of these bankers. White, middle-class Republican bankers. And I'm not talking about soft American executions like lethal injection. I'm talking about crucifixion, folks. Let's bring back crucifixion, a form of capital punishment the Christians and Jews of America can really appreciate. And I'd go a little further. I'd crucify people upside down. Like St. Peter, feet up, head down, and naked. I'd have naked upside down crucifixions on TV once a week at halftime of the Monday night football game. The Monday night crucifixions. You'd have people tuning in don't even care about football. Wouldn't you like to hear Dan Dierdorf explain why the nails have to go in at a certain angle? And I'll guarantee you one thing. You start executing, you start nailing one white banker per week to a big wooden cross on national TV, you're going to see that drug traffic begin to slow down pretty quick. You won't even be able to buy drugs in schools and prisons anymore. Now, I don't care about capital punishment one way or another, because I know it doesn't do anything. It doesn't do anything except maybe satisfy a kind of biblical need for revenge. You know, if you read the Bible, you see that it's full of retribution and revenge. So really, capital punishment is kind of a religious ritual. It's a purification rite. It's a modern sacrament. And as long as that's true, I say, let's liven it up a little. I honestly believe if you make the death penalty a little more entertaining and learn to market it correctly, you just might be able to raise enough money to balance the budget. Balance the stripped budget. And don't forget, the polls show the American people want capital punishment and they want a balanced budget. And I think even in a fake democracy, people ought to get what they want once in a while just to feed this illusion that they're really in charge. Let's use capital punishment the same way we use sports and television in this country to distract people and take their minds off how bad they're being f***ed by the upper 1%. Now, unfortunately, Monday Night Football doesn't last long enough. What we really need is year-round capital punishment on TV every night with sponsors. Gotta have sponsors. I'm sure as long as we're killing people, Marlboro Cigarettes and Dow Chemical will be proud to participate. Proud to participate. Balance the stupid budget. And let me say this to you, my interesting Judeo-Christian friends. Not only do I recommend crucifixions, I'd be in favor of bringing back beheadings. Beheadings on TV, slow motion, instant replay. And maybe you could let the heads roll down a little hill and fall into one of five numbered holes. Let the people at home gamble on which hole the head is going to fall into. And you do it in a stadium so the mob can gamble on it too. Raise a little more money. And if you want to expand the violence a little longer to sell a few more commercials, instead of using an axe, you do the beheadings with a handsaw. Hey, don't bail out on me now, goddammit. The blood is already on our hands. All we're talking about is a matter of degree. You want something a little more delicate? We'll do the beheadings with an olive fork. That would be nice, and it would take a good goddamn long time. There's a lot of good things we could be doing. When's the last time we burned someone at the stake? It's been too long. Here's another form of capital punishment. Comes out of a nice, rich religious tradition. Burning people at the stake. Sponsor, Bridgeford Charcoal. And you put it on TV on Sunday mornings. The Sunday morning evangelicals send us an offering, praise Jesus, human bonfire. You don't think that would get big ratings in this sick country? You'd have people skipping church to watch this stuff. And you take the money they send in the offerings and you use it to balance the budget. What about boiling people in oil? Boy, those were the days, weren't they? You get the oil going real good, you know, a nice high rolling boil. And then slowly, at the end of a rope, you lower the perpetrator head first into the boiling oil. Huh? You talk about fun! And just to encourage citizen participation, you let the mob in the stadium control the speed of the rope. Good, clean, wholesome family entertainment. The kids will love it. The kids will love it. And at the same time they're enjoying themselves, we're teaching them a nice Christian moral lesson. Boiling people in oil. Sponsor, Crisco. And maybe instead of boiling all these guys, every now and then you could French fry a couple of them, you know? French fried felons, dip a guy in egg batter just for a goof, you know? Kind of a tempura thing, huh? Jeffrey Dahmer never thought of this, did he? Jeffrey Dahmer, eat your heart out. Which is an interesting thought in and of itself. All right, enough nostalgia. What about some modern forms of capital punishment? How about we throw a guy off the World Trade Center and whoever he lands on wins the Publisher's Clearinghouse? Okay, something a little more sophisticated. You dip a guy in brown gravy and lock him in a small room with a Wolverine who's high on angel dust. There's one guy's not going to be f***ing with too many kids at the bus stop for a while, huh? Here's something really nice you could do. You shoot a guy out of a high-speed catapult right into a brick wall. Trouble is, it would be over too quick. No good for TV, you know? You'd have to do a whole bunch of guys right in a row. Rapid-fire capital punishment. 15 catapults. While you're shooting off one, you're loading up the others. Of course, every now and then, you would have to stop to clean off the wall. Cleanliness, right next to godliness. All right, high tech.
That was, of course, the great George Carlin talking about the 1% with a few modest proposals.
From 1996. Before George Carlin was, Joe Dixon. Now, Joe Dixon's got a lot of stuff on YouTube. You just type in Joe Dixon at YouTube. He does an extensive series called Joe Dixon's Atheist Bible Study, where he has a children's version of the Bible and has a few cocktails and gets into some analysis and some pretty good rants. There's a lot of them there. Joe Dixon's Atheist Bible Study is pretty good. Joe Dixon also writes for the Buffalo Beast, one of my favorite satirical websites on the interwebs. You're listening to the Underside Radio program with me, Scooter. We're going to return to the Final Edition Radio Hour.
New Employee Orientation, version 7.2.
Welcome to the Oxland Corporation, or as we like to call it, the Oxland family. We care about each other around here, and we like to have fun. I'm the company chairman, but you can call me Malcolm. And here are your new co-workers to tell you what keeps us together.
We have pizza every Thursday at the office, so I like that part.
Chairman Malcolm likes to make sure everyone's happy, so he reads all your emails.
We have drinks and dinners on any random day at any random time, depending on the chairman's schedule, and always at this one weird bar next to his house, so be ready to cancel any appointments you make with a doctor or your kids.
Yeah, don't even schedule things with your kids. It's just too heartbreaking when you can't show up.
The chairman lets his ferret run around the office. It was cute at first.
Every summer, we have a company picnic. It's a 75-mile bus ride to this one huge park upstate. You're stuck there for 8 hours because there are no trains. It always happens on a Sunday. It's unpaid, and it's mandatory.
So enjoy your time here. Remember, as in most loving families, you can be fired without cause at any time and escorted out of the building before you can even go back to your desk. We are family. The following portion of the Final Edition Radio Hour is made possible by a grant from Smirk Pharmaceuticals.
I take Dirigor epinephamphetamortizone, or Dream. It doesn't do that much for me. It can't take the dog for a walk. It won't fry my breakfast. It can't change the horror of an infinitely blank and hostile universe bent on burying me alive beneath the immeasurable weight of its dark matter. But it does make me feel a little better. For a while. Smirk developed Dream to counteract the horrific side effects brought on by long-term use of its own hypertrophic drugs. And Dream does the job. I do feel a little better. For a while. Then I have to take some more. Ask your doctor if Dream is right for your bottomless sense of despair. In the meantime, here's a few things you should know.
Dirigor epinephrine amphetamortizone can and usually will cause dizziness, violent seizures, loss of hearing, uncontrollable vomiting leading to organ failure, hair loss, loss of fingers, toes, and limbs, leprosy, partial blindness, total blindness, massive strokes, bloody stool, seven groups of terminal cancers, morbid obesity, asphyxia, sudden death, not so sudden death, slow lingering death, death by water, bubonic plague, necrotizing fasciitis or flesh-eating disease, spontaneous combustion, and stage 3 syphilis. Be aware that Dirigor epinephrine amphetamortizone is a powerful toxin with no known antidote. It should not be taken by pregnant women, non-pregnant women, tall women, overweight women, men of any size, children, adolescents, seniors, pets, any human or non-human living thing, except starving, desperately poor Africans in the course of a large-scale clinical trial.
Look, Dream works. I've tried everything for that overwhelming sense of my own inescapable futility, and nothing works like Dream. You know, Dream makes me feel a little better. And who doesn't want to feel a little better? For a while.
This has been a message from your good friends at Smirk. It's time for the final edition Radio Hour's finance feature, Money or Die. Pharmaceutical companies constantly attack the Food and Drug Administration as the embodiment of the nanny state. Above all, for its stubborn insistence on lengthy and costly clinical trials for new drugs. But Congress is listening, and Big Pharma is finally doing some damage to the worrywarts of the FDA. Fox Burnett held a round table with some of the big players in the brave new world of outsourced clinical testing.
First, the news. As of January 1st, 2013, global ratings giants Moody's and Standard & Poor, not the FDA, will now rate the reliability of drugs the same way they rate the reliability of bonds, securities, and feckless little European countries. Heinrich von Steyman is CEO of global pharmaceutical conglomerate Smirk.
At Smirk, we always balance patient health with financial health. Our financial health. That's why we object to the artificial firewall of clinical trials. We don't need them. Patients don't need them. Why inflict hideous, unbearable pain in the lab on adorable puppies and monkeys, Just to give an FDA paper pusher something to do between porn breaks?
But the public has to know that drugs are safe. What's the alternative to clinical testing?
Market forces should determine a drug's success. If a drug works, doctors will prescribe it and patients will demand it, just like stocks and bonds. If it doesn't work, it will die a horrible death, as will a few patients. But we have awesome lawyers, and you can't make an omelet without killing a few unborn baby chickens. Better unborn baby chickens than adorable puppies and monkeys, no?
So how does a rating service with no expertise in the health field rate a new drug? Moody's Paul Bearer is an unindicted mortgage-backed bond rater.
Moody's will conduct its usual exhaustive review, taking into account the usual gamut of factors we look at with any financial product, a company's claims, government counterclaims, the hopes and fears of desperately sick people, and above all, the size of the product's marketing budget.
Can you give us an example?
Happy to. Our best rating is AAA. That's a big A for okay, two little A's for top of the class. Drugs rated AAA are judged to be of the finest quality and carry the smallest degree of infection risk. Patients for this drug are likely to be exceptionally stable and secure. Built-in protections may change, but such changes are unlikely to impair the fundamentally strong nature of such drugs.
Okay, what about the other end of the spectrum?
That would be drugs rated triple C. The big C for you know what, and two nasty little C's for cough, please.
Drugs rated CCC should only be used in ER medical events where lack of insurance and minimal oversight by underpaid, overworked staff are significant factors. Such drugs may present elements of danger with respect to the principal patient or interested parties. Our default advice is extreme caution. And while we're talking default, adverse reactions will not be default of the manufacturer.
That's a good one. Yes.
Predictably, fuss budgets like Nancy Pelosi are raising conflict of interest issues. Ms. Ex-Speaker?
People, while we concur with our colleagues on the rabid right that outsourcing the regulatory burden of the FDA will trim the federal budget, holy Hannah, what choice do we have? There's a huge potential for financial hanky-panky. If Moody's are going to rate the efficacy of, say, your drugs, Herr von Stamen, how can they possibly continue rating Smirk's stocks and securities?
We take criticism like Madam X-Speaker's very, very seriously. If she is taking any of our medications, I'd advise her to make very, very sure that the tamper-free packaging has not been tampered with.
Is that a threat?
Yes!
So, Herr von Stamen, will new drugs be subject to any old-fashioned testing at all?
Yes, all our drugs are thoroughly tested. Rest easy on that score, America. The FDA wants clinical trials to continue, but in our labs, on our time frame, with a slightly lower threshold of negative outcomes. So, our hugely popular anti-antidepressant Sadvil simply had to demonstrate that it did not cause violent convulsion, massive oral hemorrhaging, and death. Our new alpha blocker, Dryagra, which shrinks enlarged prostates, will only have to show it doesn't make a test subject's scrotum explode.
Moody's is currently accepting applications for new test subjects at your local emergency room. Next week on Money or Die, the new Goldman Sachs Food Administration bets big time that you can't eat all that.
The Final Edition Radio Hour was performed by Darby Worley, Antoot Shell, Rachel Lyon, Barry Lank, John Marshall, Jeff Chrysler, Tony Hendra, and Scooter from KPFT in Houston, and his son Raymond. It was written by Barry Lank, John Marshall, Mike Richardson-Bryan, Paul Seaburn, Jeff Chrysler, Tony Hendra, and Scooter from KPFT in Houston. Be sure to visit thefinaledition.com, well, now, and an hour from now, and 2 hours from now, then tomorrow morning, and in the afternoon, and at night, and several times a day. The Final Edition Radio Hour was produced by Jeff Chrysler and Tony Hendra, and edited and engineered by Greg Russ.
More sizzling satire from the Final Edition Radio Hour on the Inner Side. This and all Inner Side radio programs are archived in high-fidelity sound. Simply point your insidious Google spy machine at The Inner Side. And while you're there, check out the interview we did last week with the legendary Tony Hendra. Thanks for listening. My name is Scooter, and I'll see y'all next week.
Down with disease, 3 weeks in my bed, trying to stop these demons that keep dancing in my head. Down with and I'm up before the dawn, 1,000 barefoot children outside, dancing on my lawn.